Hello and welcome to the Care for the Family podcast with me, Mark Chester, Stephen Hayes.
Hello.
And Claire Burton.
Hi.
Claire's our special guest today, and this is the Dad Cave, where we discuss fatherhood in its varying forms and unpack some of the things that often don't get talked about. So, Claire, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm Claire Burton. I work here at Care for the Family on the Kitchen Table Project. I've been married for 15 years this year to my husband, and we've got two children. Charlotte's age 12, so she's just started high school, and then Katie is 9.
Excellent. Well, it's great to meet you and your family.
Yeah, and it's only episode 2, and we've already got a mum infiltrating the dad cave, so it's... I don't know if we should have maybe set some ground rules out at the start.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but
No,
Claire, you're very welcome. So every episode we share dad jokes that we think might be of amusement to our listeners and indeed viewers. Are you familiar with what exactly constitutes a dad joke?
No, a joke about dad a dad tells?
A dad joke is a joke a dad tells, but I think it has to have a particular... eye-rolliness about it.
I'm not very good at
telling jokes. A great example would be, so my daughter is called Imogen, but we call her Immy for short, and we're taking her to her immunizations, and I said, oh, immunizations, more like it, and my wife sighed, and that is a perfect dad joke, really.
Yeah.
Did you say that was a great example?
Well, yeah.
Because I'm not sure it was.
Well, that's a really bad
example. It was
example.
A terrible joke.
But that's exactly what a dad joke is. We're all smiling. Mark, what have you got for us?
Oh, well, I've got a really special dad joke this time, okay. Because this is a joke I actually made up myself.
Wow.
And I told to my children. So this is an original dad joke.
So there's no hiding place this time around.
So are you ready for this?
Go for it.
This is how it goes. Okay. This year's stone skimming championship has been cancelled because of a shortage of stones. A spokesman said, suitable stones are thin on the ground. Boom, boom. There's tumbleweed there. Now, isn't that great? Now,
no.
I'd like to say my kids love that joke, but they didn't. They thought it was terrible.
No.
And actually, I'll admit something to you here, because I'm a bit embarrassed about this, but I will tell you that I thought this joke was so good that I emailed it to Tim Vine, the comedian, and I said to him...
Mark, no.
I said to him, you can use that joke if you like.
No, thanks.
That's awful.
He didn't even say no thanks. He didn't get back to me, unsurprisingly.
You genuinely submitted that as a joke.
I did. I know, that's embarrassing. I just wish I hadn't said that now.
The worst part is definitely that your genuine belief that that's a good joke.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm not a dad to be able to tell such joke.
I guess we should start talking about the topic for this episode, because the topic we're tackling in this episode is, we're talking about a dad's role in the family, and is it a support act or equal billing, which is why we've invited Claire to join us to give us a mum's perspective. So I think probably we could start off by just perhaps explaining what happens in each of our families. You know, is there a lead parent? Are we parenting equally? Is there an assistant parent? How does it work in your family? So so perhaps Stephen, you could kick us off.
Yeah, I think my perspective is probably somewhat different, because I've only been a dad for 8 months or so, but certainly it's really interesting to even be unpacking this as a topic, because even during the pregnancy, this supporting role or equal billing, it was only just a supporting role, if that, because the amount of times we'd go to doctor's appointments or the midwife or whatever it might be, birthing consultants, I forget what they're all called now, but there's certainly times where we'd walk in. And I genuinely, I wouldn't even get eye contact, let alone they explain everything to Beck, keep eye contact with Beck, which you kind of expect, but it certainly sets the tone, I think. And even after our daughter was born, all the kind of postnatal checks are about how Beck and the baby are doing health-wise, mental health-wise. I think that's kind of almost set the tone. And then I think in a lot of families where there are... two parents together, I think most commonly the mum does have the longer period off with the child, so that then sets about routines and decisions that lean it towards that kind of support role. So I think it's kind of, we're still in the stage of figuring out what that looks like for us. So what's it like in your family, Claire?
Well, I definitely think my husband plays a massive part in in our everyday life. In fact, I think he's an amazing dad and he really engages with the kids and he gets his hands, I was going to say hands dirty, not often.
Figuratively and literally.
But I think that I organise us them. So although he does a lot, it's almost me in the background organising the family. I like to plan ahead. I like to see, you know, see things through. So even if he does something, I'm often checking in, which probably isn't helpful, but I'm checking in, making sure he's taking my daughter to the doctor's today. And that's involved two phone calls, me ringing and saying, don't forget to say this to the doctor. And then what did the doctor say? So
what, literally today?
Yeah, literally today. So he stayed at home with her. She's ill. He stayed at home. I've come into work. He stayed at home. But I'm still checking in because I think that's the control freaking me then. But I think that is sometimes common. Not necessarily always, mum. I've got friends where dad takes that role more. Mm. But I think there's often one parent who does the planning and does the organising and almost organises everybody more than the other.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's really good to compare this, isn't it? Because it strikes me we're at different stages of family life. So, Stephen, you're at the start of parenting. Mm-hmm. Claire, you're sort of right in the middle. You know, your children are 12 and 9. Mm. Mine are adults. So I'm probably a bit further towards the other end of parenting, really. Through our family life, then, sometimes someone takes the lead, but it's been different at different stages of family life and in different areas of family life as well. So there is often a lead parent and an assistant parent, but it's different in different situations and it changes over time too, depending on what's happening in family life. Yeah.
And some of these things that develop as well, you can kind of see why they play out in the way that they do. Because so even taking, you know, from our scenario where we've got, you know, a 7.5-month-old girl, you know, Beck's been I was home for 2 weeks, but then Beck since then has been home with her all the time. So she's making decisions about, you know, when to start wean her, how that looks like, when to drop a bottle, when to, you know, she'll say something like, oh, we're going to increase it to like 5-ounce bottles instead of 4 now. And I'm just like, okay, like, why would I say anything otherwise? But then there's equally times when perhaps a scenario where perhaps I've been settling her at bedtime. And I thought, she seems like she's teething. I might give her Calpol. And Beck said, oh, no, no. And it's almost that moment there where sometimes I'll say, okay, well, she probably does know better. But then there's other times where I have my own instinct, you know, to be like, I think she does. And but there's times where I've said, do I get a say in this? Mm. Kind of just, and it's almost that that moment where you have to kind of say, I get that. You know, it makes sense for most of these decisions to lie with you. But equally, there's times where, as dads, we might have an opinion. And I think it's keeping the door open for that, isn't it? Without, which my wife does do. She's great at it. But it's always an ongoing thing, I think.
Yeah. I guess it's talking about that, though, isn't it? And making it clear, this is how this makes me feel when you do that. And not, and often not in that moment.
Yeah.
Because especially if there's a screaming, crying baby going. But
it's not help.
No, it doesn't help at all. But I guess it's back to communication, isn't it? And communicating how that makes us feel.
Yeah. I've often heard it said that mums do all the hard work and dads are the light relief. I'm just wondering how you feel about that, Claire.
I definitely think that. My husband is amazing with the girls. He's so engaging. He's so fun. Like, they have a brilliant time. They always prefer him to take them to bed at night because that means bedtime's going to stretch for another half hour and I'm there shouting, it's bedtime.
Refereeing the whole thing.
Absolutely. So, yeah, and sometimes I can feel like, oh, I'm here and I'm doing all this and I'm doing the boring bits and maybe like sorting out the uniform for the next day and getting everything ready. And look at them, they're all having fun. So I think, yeah, I can feel a little bit pushed out at times because maybe I'm not one that would get down and play fight on the floor, but I'd like to be involved. And yeah, so I definitely think I can be the boring one and he can be the fun dad.
And what do you think about that, Stephen? Have you noticed a pattern emerging already in your family life at all?
As you were saying that, since becoming a dad, I definitely get that feel of like, I've got a full day of work and I get in and I don't kind of think, right, what time's dinner tonight and what's she going to have? And I just want to play and just have fun, make her laugh. It's kind of natural, isn't it? Because you've got that limited time. So you want to make it. But I think what can happen then is if that repeats itself over and over down the years, it can probably start to feel like it's a bit of fun dad, boring mum.
I've got something interesting to say on this, and you're probably thinking, "Oh, at last, he's got something interesting to say."
You've said at least two or three interesting things.
Right. Well, this is even more interesting because when oxytocin's like the love hormone, the attachment, it's the hormone that attaches us to other people, and when a parent and child's oxytocin often synchronizes and it peaks together. Now, this is really interesting because when it peaks between a mum and a child, when the mum is caring for the child, so feeding the child, changing a nappy, that kind of thing, but it peaks for a dad and a child when they're playing together.
Is that right?
So, That's amazing. Yeah.
So there's actually a natural sort of inclination to want to play with your children as a dad because that's the activity that best bonds us together.
No way, that's
so
amazing.
So there is a natural reason sometimes for dads playing with their children. And that's not to say, of course, we want to be involved in the caring activities as well.
Yeah.
But that's often why we go to automatically play with our children because it bonds us together better.
Even today. I had stayed at home with Charlotte today, I probably would have cutched up on the sofa, we would have put a film on, had a little cuddle, and that would have been my way of like making sure she was all right. Dad and Charlotte sit with a blanket over them on the sofa playing Mario Kart this morning. But like, isn't that interesting? Yeah, I guess interesting. That is still that bonding and wanting to be close to your child, but it's almost through a play activity as opposed to just sitting maybe in and cuddling up.
Yeah. The other day I was, one of the things that I think we figured out that Imogen is finding funny at the moment is when you kind of like go to give her something and then you take it away last minute. So I was offering up a breadstick, and then as soon as she kind of like tried to grasp it with her chubby little hands, I would like remove it, and then she was giggling away. Oh, and genuinely, like, it backed it up because there was a moment where we looked at each other. Pretty sure she winked at me, and it was like it was affirmation to say, "You're doing a great job, Dad. I'm really feeling connected right now." But I think at the same time, I think it's hard to get the right balance because I think as a dad, I'm also wanting to kind of help around the house and do that kind of stuff. Let me paint a scenario for you, Claire. So you've gone out, maybe let's take it back 5 years. You've gone out for the day. Scenario A or scenario B, what's ideal? So scenario A, you come back, the house is a tip, there's plates in the sink, the living room has been turned into like some sort of fort with the two sofas and a blanket, but the kids are like definitely having fun and engaged with dad and he's definitely having quality time. Or scenario B, where you come home, they're watching something on TV, it's clean, the dinner's been cooking. Like, in those scenarios, I guess the answer's probably somewhere in between, but in those scenarios, what's more common for you to have come back to? And I suppose, which do you prefer? Because I'm still grappling with that, trying to figure out what's more ideal to see that sort of connection happening, but equally stuff still needs to be done and you need help around the house. Like
I'd love scenario one all the time, but no, I guess it's a balance between both of them. I wouldn't say my husband likes things tidy, right? So even though he has the fun, the house is still tidy, so there's probably a balance in there. You'll have to speak to him and ask him how he does it, because I would come home and the house is nice and tidy and they've had lots of fun.
That's very impressive. So that's a classic scenario where mum and dad are both involved. Mark, like you've dealt with dads who single dads or dads who are kind of not in that kind of in that place, so how is what's that kind of look like?
The point about single dads is great. I've got a number of mates who are single dads, really. And, you know, it's challenging for them, isn't it? Because we're talking about parenting as a team, different people playing different roles, and we're trying to explore, well, how does that work? Yeah. Who's the lead parent? Who's the assistant parent? But often they're doing everything. They might not be doing everything for the whole of the time because mum might have the kids sometimes, but they're often taking the lead in everything during the period that they've got the children. So I think it is a real particular challenge there about, well, we want to play with the kids, but we also need to look after them day in, day out. We need to go into their schools, deal with all the issues around that. We need to take them along to their healthcare appointments, all of those things. So I think there are, you know, particular challenges for anybody who parents on their own at any period. You know, they're the lead parent, the assistant parent and everything. And I think it's really just important to acknowledge that everybody's situations are different.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, definitely.
And one of the other challenges, I think, in figuring out what the two roles look like, which is valid for, I guess, a mum and a dad trying to do it individually and also together But also in our scenarios, there's so many opportunities where both people can, both mum and dad can feel underappreciated either by each other or even by the kids to some degree. How has that looked for you in terms of showing each other appreciation for the stuff that you could argue they should just do anyway?
Yeah, we probably don't do enough of it both ways.
Yeah.
Either, you know, we just sometimes just get on and do your thing, but you don't always say thank you or appreciate one another for the role that you're playing in impacting your children. And I guess that works if you're parenting in the same house, but equally that must be particularly tough, obviously talking about single parents, if you're parenting separately as well. I think it's just trying to find little ways where you can maybe appreciate and acknowledge, isn't it? It's acknowledging the role that you both play and appreciating that. Yeah, maybe I haven't done enough of that over the years.
I think it's good to appreciate one another, isn't it? But I think sometimes it can go over the top almost for dads. And I find that frustrating when someone is almost really praising you for something that is quite a normal thing to do.
Yeah. Is that a bit patronising, actually?
Well, I find it patronising, yeah. So it's nice to be praised, but equally you think, well, it's just... why particularly, you know, are you praising me? Because it's almost like saying, well, we wouldn't expect this of you because you're a dad.
Mm.
And actually, you've done a great job.
So in what scenario might that have played out?
So there's sort of mixed feelings about it, really. I think sometimes, when you're out and about particularly with a young child or whatever, you know, people will often comment about, oh, isn't it lovely?
Mm.
Are you babysitting today? And you're like, no, I'm parenting today. Just like a parent every day.
Couldn't agree more.
That idea of you're babysitting, you're looking after the child.
Yeah.
I had a friend, and I think it's just a terminology thing, but I remember this friend saying, oh, I'm babysitting tomorrow night. And I said, who are you babysitting for? He said, well, my kids. I was like, surely that's just parenting. Yeah. You're not babysitting. Yeah. Like that almost suggests you're going above and beyond. And it's like, no, you're just parenting your children. Like there is that. But I think it probably depends on the individual and how we, you know, again, that ongoing communication thing.
Yeah.
So I think for us, we try and just thank each other for the little things anyway, because you could, you know, I should do the washing up and Beck should cook and vice versa. I should cook and we try and just say thanks, thanks for dinner, thanks for washing up. And I think that's kind of just spilled over to the parenting where it's just like, how many wake-ups was it last night? Three. Oh, well, thanks so much. And I think it's probably an individual thing a little bit. Yeah, as spouses, we try and communicate that kind of thing.
Yeah. I think I would thank over those sort of things. But sometimes you just, it's just that routine of just automatically doing things sometimes in parenting.
Yeah,
that's giving me some food.
I'm just wondering what we can do to help one another. You know, what can dads do to help mums? What can mums do to help dads? Claire, what would you say that, you know, Stephen and I are dads? What should we be doing to help the mums of our children, do you think?
Well, for me, I think asking that question. I think just saying sometimes, like, is there anything I can do to help right now? Especially for me, because I take the lead on organising. I think having that question asked, is there anything I can do? That goes a long way, because often they might not be, but it's just that acknowledgement. Again, that's almost that silent thank you in that. Like, I acknowledge that you're doing a lot, but is there anything that I can do to help? And I think for me, just being involved. I think, you know, we've said all this about different roles today, but actually when I see the dad of my children engaging with them and being involved in them, well, that just says it all, really, you know. I think, and yes, we'll have dads that are organised, mums that are organised. We'll have different setups. We'll have parents that are parenting on their own and those that are parenting together. But I think it's a real blessing to see a parent, whether it's a mum or a dad, just engaging with their children.
And Stephen, what do you think mums could do to help us as dads?
I think it's all about communication and keeping the conversation open. I think one of my reflections, and it might be an incorrect one, but I you know, there's dads I know who are kind of in their mid-40s, and it just feels a little bit like they're on autopilot. So, and I think, you know, talking about us in the early stages of pregnancy and that kind of, then certain things that happen that Beck is naturally making the decisions on, I think then that can kind of spill over to other stuff. And I think I've certainly caught it where, you know, there can be a weekend where I don't know what's going on, and I check the diary, and it's like we've already got like a few birthday parties in, and all the time outside of work can quite easily be just mapped out because mum's around more and just kind of like filling the diary with stuff. And I think after years of that kind of thing, there's guys I know where it feels like they've just kind of on autopilot. And I think something that we're trying to do, and some things I've, you know, spoken with my wife about, is just keep me in the conversation. Yeah. So, you know, I don't want it to be in 5 years that, you know, Wednesday's ballet, Thursday's trampoline club, Friday's, you know,
swimming.
You know, it's the calendar can just fill up I think it's getting that balance of making sure there's time for you as a family, maybe minimizing not too many hobbies. And I think, yeah, not assuming the dad necessarily wants you to make all of the decisions, and just kind of, yeah, having little moments where you can touch base and say, you know, how do you feel about this kind of thing? What about for you, Mark?
Yeah, I think sharing the mental load is a big thing for me, really. It's interesting, different ways Sue and I share the mental, have the initiative with the mental load in different areas. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking, you know, what would be good is sometimes for me to ask, if I'm leading with the mental load, is just to ask Sue, would you get involved in this?
Yeah.
And equally for Sue to say, would you get involved in this? And the answer will always be yes. You know, we would say yes to one another. So it might be that I'm taking the children along to a lot of medical appointments, and actually it's starting to have a bit of an emotional impact. You know, it can be tough. So if I said to Sue, look, would you take them along to the next medical appointment? I know the answer would always be yes, but sometimes I might not ask for it.
That's right. So I think so.
I think you know, I need to ask for support. Sue needs to ask for support as well. So often she'll take a lot of the mental load of certain things, say to do with their education, and sometimes she will say to me, you know, would you do this? And of course the answer would be yes.
Yeah.
So I think you know, just sharing the mental load, I think both ways is a big thing for me.
And I guess it's having those conversations. Again, we talked about earlier timings of conversations, because sometimes you can feel frazzled with the mental load and then you blurt it all out. But that's not always the helpful time to say it. But it's
not
having
always.
No, it's having those conversations when things are calmer, isn't it? And just being able to talk some of those things through.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
Taking some of the tension out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It feels like we've reached a great point, really. Yeah. A great point to finish.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I guess we should wrap things up.
Yeah.
So we'd like to say thank you, Claire, for joining us in the Dad Cave.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me. I definitely think just even having this conversation has made me think that I would go away and do things slightly different in different aspects. So it is nice to talk, and it's nice to hear other people's perspectives. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
It's been great to have you here. And that was another episode of The Dad Cave. We hope you can join us next time. Thanks for listening.